St. Paul says in his epistle today, "Brethren, I pray you not to faint at my tribulations." And in the Apostles' Creed we pray, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Recently, I've found myself rather enjoying finding out the favorites of our Lord and His saints. I think because it shows a little of the human element of them as well. For example, our Lord, did you know it? He had His favorite friends, His best friends, whom He loved to visit and would often visit them throughout His public life. It was Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In fact, He found such joy and consolation there that he made it a point to visit them in their home just days before His passion. And I learned too, as I was preparing a sermon a few weeks ago in Milwaukee, that our Lord revealed to Saint Mechtilda who His three favorite saints are. The first was, of course, Our Lady, who couldn't and who shouldn't love her above all the others. But the second was Saint John the Baptist, and the third was Saint Mary Magdalene. And we know of the saints that they all had the things in life that they appreciated. Pope Saint Pius X, for example. We honored him yesterday. He loved an occasional nice cigar, perhaps a cigarette here or there. All the saints had their favorites. But turning back to the author of today's epistle, Saint Paul. He was the greatest missionary for sure, and in some ways, a very good preacher. What was his favorite topic to preach about? Well, they tell us his favorite topic was the resurrection of the body. Frequently, he mentions this doctrine in his epistles. Now, that should be no surprise that this is his favorite thing to preach about. Should be no surprise that this man loved it so much when we read what we do in today's epistle. "Brethren, faint not at my tribulations for you." And then if we turn back to an epistle that took place just before Lent, we read the long litany of St. Paul's sufferings. He mentions labors, imprisonments, scourgings. He was beaten with rods and even stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked and left in the deep sea for a night and a day. He tells us he was exposed to the dangers of robbers and of Gentiles, the dangers in the wilderness and in the sea. He experienced the pains of fasting and of cold and of poverty. And finally, he was beheaded. This doctrine of the resurrection of the body must have been for him, as it should be for all of us here today, a great consolation and a sort of something that spurs us on to do good, to practice virtue. The thought of his future resurrection caused St. Paul to endure so much. After all, the mystery of this life, I'm speaking of the mystery of suffering and of pain, it makes no sense without the doctrine of our future resurrection. But your catechism question for the day: what is the resurrection of the body? Well, the answer is this. By resurrection of the body, we mean that we shall all rise again with the same bodies at the day of judgment. It says in the Gospel of St. John, "The hour cometh wherein all that are in the graves shall come forth." Every human being will rise. Both the just and the unjust, the saint will rise to go into his reward, and the sinner will arise as well, but to go into his eternal punishment. How do we know, for sure, I mean, that our bodies will rise? First of all, our Lord Himself told us. Our Lord is God, is He not? And God is truth. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. And our Lord said, "The hour cometh, wherein all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that have done good things shall come forth unto the resurrection of life, but they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." And elsewhere he says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." And even though I believe it's the rationalists who tried to deny that there was any proof in the Old Testament concerning the resurrection of the body, you can open up the book and find many of them. Job, for example, whom the church is honoring in the breviary this week, how much he suffered. He says, "I shall rise in my own skin." And then, perhaps my favorite profession of faith on this doctrine was given by the mother of the Maccabees. Remember the Maccabees in the Old Testament? They fought so many wars, one war after another, to defend the laws of God. And they came out victorious and fought very bravely and were martyred. Well, the mother of the brave Maccabees, you can picture the scene just for a moment. The mother of the Maccabees standing amidst all of the blood and the scattered and mutilated limbs of her own sons. There she stood, and there she professed her belief in the resurrection of the body before the cruel Antiochus, the persecutors of her children. And this is what she said, "Know, O wicked and perverse man, that you are making us die only for the present life, but the master of the world is going to receive us, we who are dying for his laws, and he will raise us again on the day of the resurrection." You could not get a much more beautiful or courageous profession of faith than what you just heard there. The mother, in the midst of all of the mangled and mutilated limbs of her sons, seeing them with her own eyes, says, "These, my boys, will one day rise again." What a touching scene that must have been. But the resurrection of the body can be confirmed by reason or philosophy too. Tertullian, he was one of the early church fathers, gave us a very good explanation, a good quote on this. He says, "Now it is the body that is washed by the waters of baptism, so that the soul may obtain its purity and clarity. And it is furthermore the body that is anointed by the oil and the unction of the Holy Spirit, so that the soul may be consecrated. It is also upon the body that hands are imposed, so that the soul may be enlightened and can communicate blessings. It is also the body that receives the Eucharist and quenches its thirst with divine blood, so that man, becoming one with Christ and sharing with him the same life, may live eternally." And again, an author continues, "Again, it is the body that crosses the hands in prayer and bows in adoration. It is the body that is emaciated by fasts and by mortification. It is the body that offers itself as a holocaust on scaffolds and stakes and is consumed in martyrdom. And could the body of a man, the instrument of these most heroic deeds, the channel of so many graces and blessings, the champion of Christian witness, the priest and altar of sacrifice, could the body of man be like the grass in the fields, bursting forth into life for a moment, only to become the prey of worms and the guest of death forever?" Well, the author concludes, this would be a blasphemy against providence and an affront to his infinite goodness. In other words, if our body and this earth is the instrument of so many virtuous deeds, shouldn't it then share the joys of paradise along with the soul? It's a beautiful thought, but it is our faith. What will take place on the day of the resurrection? Think strongly on this. Just as surely as you sit in your pew today, your body will rise on that day. St. Paul tells us it all happens in the twinkling of an eye. The angels will come, sent by God, and blast their trumpets, majestic and loud. The sounds will penetrate deep and far and wide, so that all will hear. And the souls of the just first will come down from heaven, accompanied with their guardian angels, and they will be led to the place where their bodily remains lay. The grave will open up, and the soul of the just man will look in and see not a coffin full of ashes and dust, but a glorified body, more beautiful than he had ever been able to imagine. And at that moment, he is permitted to join his soul to the body. And then come the damned souls. They come down too. They're not quite as impressed with what they see, their body all deformed because of sin. But nonetheless, they are to join body and soul, never again to be separated. Trillions of souls and bodies being united in the twinkling of an instant. But what of the body? I mean, the resurrected body. What will it be like? Well, they say that it will be of the age of the perfect man, 32, 33, so that babies who die will get what they never had before, receive the strength of a perfect man. And the elderly who, through sickness and just old age, I guess, in general, lose so much strength and so many abilities, well, they will get it all back at the resurrection. But they will nonetheless be our bodies, not someone else's. They will be our bodies. And those who died in the state of grace will have their bodies perfected in order to share in their reward. Lost limbs returned. Bad vision, 20/20. The deaf will hear, and they will resemble the body of our Lord. They will have the qualities of risen bodies. Briefly, just in passing, what are these four qualities? They will have impassibility, which means that there is no possibility of suffering. They will have subtlety, which means that their bodies, their risen bodies, will share in the spiritual existence of the soul and so be able to pass through things, just like our Lord passed through the door into the cenacle after his resurrection. We will have agility, which means we can move from place to place with rapid motion. And finally, brightness. We'll have a brilliance about us. It says in the Gospels, "The just shall shine as the sun." And St. Paul tells the Corinthians, though, that star shall differ from star, meaning that although all of us will be brilliant and bright, we'll be in different degrees based on the degree that we merited in this life and the holiness that we have attained. What of the martyrs? Well, the martyrs will retain the scars from the wounds that they suffered for our Lord, because these scars are like gems which will only add more beauty to their bodies than anyone could ever imagine. The bodies of the lost souls, on the other hand, they will be complete, they will be entire, for the more perfect the body is, the more it can suffer. But unlike the risen bodies of the saints, those of the lost will suffer pain, a great degree of it. They are still incorruptible, though because of their pains and their sufferings, they so wish to die. But death always escapes them, and they're left living for the rest of eternity. And instead of the brilliant light that shines through in the body of the just, will be deformity of body It is the hideousness of sin that shines out from the soul to the body. But, my dear faithful, all of these catechism questions, these points of faith, should be applied to our life. I want you to reflect often on this 11th article of the Creed, the resurrection of the bodies. What benefit does it have for us in our life, in our practical everyday life? Briefly, very briefly, four things. First, meditating on the resurrection of the body helps us to avoid sin. For when we think of what it might be if we die in the state of sin, how deformed our body will be, then it helps us to avoid sin. Secondly, it helps us to live virtuous lives when we think of all the glory and all the beauty that our bodies should one day have. Thirdly, it takes away some of the fear of death. There's always going to be that natural fear of death, but when you believe firmly that there is something on the other side of death, it is not just nothingness, as some would have us believe. There is the resurrection of the body. There is paradise. Then that takes away some of the fear of death. And fourthly and finally, reflecting on this article of the Creed takes away the sorrow which we sometimes feel for our deceased loved ones and our friends. It's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible for us not to be saddened over their death, but to have the firm hope that this friend who you knew so well and for such a long time, to know with a firm hope that this friend will rise again. What consolation that should bring you all. So let this subject of your future resurrection, be as much a consolation and an incentive to piety as it was for the great Saint Paul, who was able to endure so much suffering, all because he loved the thought of the resurrection of the body. In the name